Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Sitting across from me is
Gary LeMaster.
Mike Cosentino is taking the week off, probably sleeping late somewhere, I don't know.
Probably abusing his high school students.
Yeah, he probably is working.
I mean that in an academic way, by the
way. We have with us some folks brought to us by Local First Arizona, and we'll ask them to tell you what they're about. First, you guys want to introduce yourself, Meg Williams-Jamison. You want to say hello?
Hi, everybody. Yeah, I'm Meg Williams-Jamison. I'm the Northern Arizona Director for Local First Arizona.
I'm Justin Ovi, and I am the Sales Manager for Arizona Stronghold Vineyards.
Good. And we have a secret guest here. You're going to say hello? Come on.
My name is Kelsey. I am the new outreach coordinator, community outreach coordinator for Northern Arizona.
All right. She's not going to say one word after that. she promises. So I guess the first thing, Gary, is to ask, what is Local First Arizona? What are you guys about? And, you know, from the point of view of Democratic perspective, we really want to encourage economic diversity. If everywhere you go, you see the same stores, the same restaurants, the same everything, a huge amount of just franchise after franchise or local. What we're interested in doing is encouraging just economic diversity, but also it's more interesting for folks, isn't it, to have a different place to go to?
Yeah, certainly. So, and actually that's kind of how Local First Arizona got started. And that happened about 10 years ago. Our founding director, Kimber Lanning, is an entrepreneur and business owner in the Phoenix area. And she started Local First because, like you say, you drive through a big city like Phoenix or Austin, Texas or Houston, and you notice that there's a Chili's on the same corner, there's a CVS, there's a Walgreens. You have the kind of the standard run-of-the-mill big boxes over and over again. And as a small business owner, she was kind of sick and tired of seeing those companies kind of pop up exit after exit, get those big tax breaks and whatever sort of subsidies.
And infrastructure.
And infrastructure and all those things kind of coming over the small business owners. And so she started Local First Arizona, and at that time just with a handful of businesses, called Chain Reaction, with the idea that if all of these local business owners kind of joined hands and pledged to support each other and to kind of grow a network of people that would in turn support each other's locally owned businesses, that network would grow stronger and would become actually a large support system. And so and how that's happened is that we now, Local First Arizona is a nonprofit, and we have about 2,600 locally owned businesses that's a part of our network statewide. We're actually the largest locally owned business coalition in the whole country.
So I have an Arby's franchise. Am I eligible to become a member?
Really good question. No.
No franchises.
And the reason we don't allow franchises to join Local First Arizona. And the reason is that we're about, we're not anti-chain. We're just really pro-local. And if a franchise owner sends those franchise dollars out of state, I don't know where Arby's is based, but not in Arizona, you're sending more money out of state. You're also paying for services that aren't located in Arizona either. So Arby's has a tax guy that lives in New York or someplace like that, or their web design guy lives in California, or their graphic design folks live out of state too. So it's the peripheral businesses that also contribute to that franchise that that you don't see statewide.
And do they, well, even probably buy the food nationally. They probably don't buy local
produce. Of course.
Produce,
yeah.
Right? They're not going down to the farmer's market and shopping.
No, unfortunately, I don't think so. So there's that too.
Do you have any statistics on comparing what happens if you buy locally, what the money difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the ones we like to use, which is a study done in Austin, is that for every $100 that you spend at a locally owned business, $45 recirculates and stays in the community. But if you shop at a chain, only $13 stays in the community. So that's
why don't you repeat that for our
listeners? So for every, or we'll just do for a dollar, for every dollar spent at a locally owned business, 45 cents of that dollar stays in the local community. And if you shop at a national chain, only 13 cents.
So there's a huge difference in the amount of money staying in the local community.
Mm-hmm. Up to 75% of the money recirculates within the local community if you shop at a locally owned store.
So, Justin, you're with Arizona Stronghold, and we've done several shows on the wine industry, particularly in the Verde Valley. Is it a struggle to get your wines? Are you trying to get Arizona wines out nationally? Are you trying to well, we see them in the local supermarkets, but once you leave the area, it's really local wine sold locally, a lot of it anyway.
It is. And the wine industry itself is a pretty competitive industry. So we're pushing ourselves out there and we're getting noticed. But it's going to take time for sure to really get out there. I don't think there's any other product on a store shelf that has as many options as there are wines. You know, if you take all the beers, all the soda pop, all the chips, all the cookies and crackers and add them together, you're kind of starting to scratch the surface of the amount of wine that's available out there. So there's a lot available, but Arizona is slowly creeping out onto the national scene, and we'll continue to grow.
And Page Springs has a tasting room that folks can go to?
Both wineries do, actually. Arizona Stronghold is in Old Town Cottonwood, and there's actually four different tasting rooms there, in addition to a number of nice restaurants and shops. Old Town's really come to life in the last few years. And Page Springs Cellars is in Cornville in the Page Springs area out there, and there's three wineries there as well. But
You have a wine club that I'm on a waiting list to join.
Yeah. Why not, Justin? Why don't you bump him up on the
right? Do I get free Arby's from you?
I have no Arby's.
Both wineries have wine clubs, actually. And a lot of wineries are doing that. You know, the more you can go direct to consumer, the better, really.
I don't know if this is a correct assumption, but I think the wine club has really done a lot to kind of brand you guys statewide and get a really good reputation for what you're doing, not only just in the Verde Valley with your consumers here, but elsewhere throughout the state. I mean, I hear if you have wine club members from all over the place.
Yeah, and kind of the fun thing about being in a wine club is, you know, like you said, you'll see our wines on store shelves, and that's a percentage of our wines go to store shelves, but a lot of them are wine club exclusive or tasting room exclusive, and that's one of the benefits of being in the club is you get wines no one else gets. Some of the wines we make are literally a single barrel of wine. It comes down to 25 cases. So if you get a couple of those bottles, you're one of the lucky few that get that.
I guess, you know, when you start out with a new area, in other words, California wines are known. California wines had to fight an uphill battle to get recognized from French, Italian, Spanish wine. And now Arizona wines are in the same kind of struggle to get their reputation out there, get people to taste them. Sedona has a wine festival every year where you can go and for a small amount of money taste the wine from all the local Arizona wineries.
Yeah, and that's a great way to do it, too. I mean, between, say, Jerome and Sedona, I believe there's 11 or 12 different tasting rooms now. And then in the Wilcox area, I think they might be up to 6 or 8 tasting rooms. And then you've got the Sonoyta area down south, which has closer to 15. But in the state, there's around 90 at this point, wineries. So to be able to taste the most wines at once, going to one of those festivals is the way to do it, because at any given festival you got 15 to 25 or 30 wineries all concentrated at one time.
And all these different festivals promote local products and businesses, right?
They do. And we also, Local First Arizona has a festival every year. It's called our Fall Festival. It's in Phoenix, but it's a celebration of Arizona's local businesses. So we do have businesses from Northern Arizona that participate, and it's a big street party. We have vendors that come and they, you know, give samples of their food or samples of what they do. There's live music. There's a beer and wine garden that Arizona Stronghold and Page Spring Cellars participate in every year, in addition to dozens of other local businesses from Arizona. So that's another way that we reach out to folks as well. And there's about 10,000 people that attend that festival every fall. It's really, really fun.
So as you said earlier, when you spend money on local products, it tends to stay in the community more often. But why shouldn't I go to Walmart, you know, where things are cheaper than a little local grocery store? Well, I mean, what are the other advantages to local first?
Well, there's a good example that I can think of right now. Excuse me. And this is a time for holiday shopping. Everybody's out there trying to buy their friends and family something special. And we actually promote this whole month as Buy Local Month. So, think about when you go to Walmart, and you shop, and it is cheap, and it's cheap immediately for you. Or if you buy something on Amazon. But one of the other ways, besides tax dollars and just general, like, bringing money to a small business owner, one of the other effects is with the jobs. So we know, I think there's been a lot of press out lately that Walmart, may not have the best, jobs and
salaries,
and there are lots of protests happening in Walmarts all over the country, and I don't want to pick on Walmart, so
no, but a lot of their people are on food stamps and
right.
basically sort of have welfare benefits
because they make
so little money.
And then the other so that's one thing, and then we also know that it's been in the news lately that the jobs created through shopping at Amazon maybe aren't so great either, and maybe they just don't exist. I know from watching the news and listening to NPR lately that, in fact, they're mostly robots packing boxes at Amazon right now. So not only are you not creating jobs by shopping at Amazon, but you're eliminating a lot of them because, in fact, they're robots packing the boxes.
And pretty soon they want to start delivering things by drone.
Right. So
that should be very interesting.
I know. So that's another, I guess, important reason. Every time you go online to shop or walk into Walmart, try and think about the people behind it.
There was a study done in Walmart in Wisconsin that looked into what the cost of an average Walmart is to the community and to the state. And the number was $900,000 in increased infrastructure that the community and the state had to pay for in order to develop that space for Walmart, and then the food stamps and other forms of welfare that went to Walmart's low-paid workers. Not all of their workers are low-paid.
No,
but,
certainly
but a
not.
Substantial
right.
number are. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as we were talking before we went on the air, you know, I've owned a lot of small businesses, and I've never once asked a city or state to pay for infrastructure for my business or to give me any sort of tax incentives to open the business. It's, you know, small businesses just don't get that. So there's a big impact to the community with small businesses basically create the majority of the jobs in the country and in any state and community. And so there's a huge difference in impact on the local community of a small business versus a large chain.
That's true. And also when, you know, we're in a more rural area of our state. And so when thinking about things also like youth retention and trying to draw more people beyond tourism to come to want to live to an area. I mean, it's places like Old Town Cottonwood and Jerome and the smaller businesses that are going to be that draw to people moving to the area. I mean, there's nothing unique. Kelsey, not to pick on Kelsey, but she did just move here. And I think one of the things that she talks about drawing here into our community were the unique businesses. You know, Old Town Cottonwood is so unique. Sedona, all of your local businesses are a real asset to our community.
One of the things we noticed in interviewing small business owners in Old Town was how cooperative they were, how they were sort of working together. They're in competition. Say we had people from two different restaurants. They're in competition, but on the same time, they're working together to make Old Town work, to create Old Town. It takes everybody, kind of all the small businesses, getting together to create an environment which is supportive of innovation and stuff. Mm-hmm. Part of it's, I think, to me, the reason Old Town worked was, inexpensive rents and stuff. When I look at Sedona, the rents here are so terribly high. It's really hard for somebody to do something new and innovative. Everything has to be very, very structured. And I noticed that where my company was, it's now been replaced by a chocolate fudge chain. And the rent was $15,000-$20,000 a month, and it's been replaced by people selling chocolate fudge, a chain selling chocolate fudge, and you just wonder how much chocolate fudge do they have to sell to pay the rent before they start paying the employees and anything else. So I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying it's hard, and we have a great deal of respect for local business people who come up with a new idea, who come up with their own way of doing things, come up with their own business, and try to do something different. Because otherwise, as Gary was saying, you just get this homogenous place. And there are places in Phoenix where you can drive down, the avenue, and it's just one chain restaurant after another. And looking for something different is really kind of an ordeal. I mean, and if you don't do that, you end up in some chain that you don't even want to go to.
As I mentioned earlier, before we went on the air, that I used to travel a lot, and sometimes I had to look at my airline ticket to find out what city I was in, because the communities were so similar. They're so homogenous. Every suburb of every city has the same kinds of strip malls. The only difference really was the climate, but they had the same kind of hotels, the same kind of restaurants. They were all franchised, and there was nothing unique about any of them. You had to go to the core of the downtown to hopefully find something that wasn't a chain.
And Phoenix is a great example, because you'll find one set of chains, and then you go 5 miles down the same road, and then this thing will repeat itself again. It's not just repeating it in Phoenix, it's repeating it on one major roadway. Same stuff is all over again. So businesses join Local First Arizona, and how many businesses in northern Arizona, particularly in the Verde Valley, do you guys have at this point?
Well, the Verde Valley is actually our largest presence, beyond Flagstaff and beyond Prescott. And our office is based in Cottonwood, so we do have a physical presence in the Verde Valley. Arizona Stronghold and Page Spring Sellers have been some of our longest running members. They've been supporters of ours for many years, well beyond how long I've been here. But we're up to about 100 businesses in the Verde Valley alone. And that may not seem like a lot of businesses, but for an area that's the size of ours, small in population, it is. It's quite strong. And that's, compared to the Phoenix metro area, we have a couple thousand.
Yeah.
But we also have an office in Tucson as well. Mm-hmm. So we are statewide. We have an office in Southern Arizona, Central Arizona, and then Northern Arizona as well.
How about folks up in, in Flagstaff? Do you have a presence up on the plateau?
We do. And we, not a physical presence, but part of our work stretches up there. We're actually doing a big buy local campaign this month. We're doing a shopping crawl with a lot of the locally owned businesses downtown and beyond. So it's a way to incentivize shopping local during the holiday season and increasing foot traffic up there. So
I assume you're looking for more local businesses to join your organization.
Of course.
what kinds of businesses do you represent?
All sorts of businesses. It's also really it's a great network to be a part of if your local business is just looking to, network with people in your own community that you know, but also statewide. So we have a monthly networking mixer every month in Northern Arizona that kind of rotates. But we have merchant services folks that are going to our networking mixers in Phoenix. We have wineries. We have restaurants. We have other types of services, like cleaning services. We have taxi cab services. I mean, we have all sorts of businesses that are members of ours.
And I'd like to ask about wine again. As with all of the wine tasting rooms that you mentioned, and all of the different wineries. How many people are employed in the wine business in Arizona? Do you have any idea?
I don't know the statistics on it. I can say that it's grown dramatically in the last 10 years. I know as of 2005, there were 12 wineries in the state. Last number I heard was 93 at this point. So it's growing very quickly. And Meg, you mentioned that local businesses will bring people to the area. I actually moved here in 2008 just to get into the wine industry in Arizona.
Where did you move from?
I grew up in Northern California, but I actually spent 5 years in Hawaii. I left paradise surrounded by the ocean to come to paradise surrounded by sand. It's great here. I love it here. I wouldn't go back. It's great.
And why did the wineries join Local First Arizona? Why were they some of the first members?
I think it's simple. I mean, when you talk about a local product, I don't think you get any closer to the land than something that grows from it, fruits, vegetables, and then wine kind of takes it to this next level where you not only grow it here, but you also make it. It goes to the second stage where you're, fermenting it, and that's a whole nother set of people and crew. You're not just farming it, but you're making the wine as well, which is a whole nother set of jobs. But, to get, people to look at your wines and to, maybe put down the one from California and pick up the one from Arizona, being a part of something like Local First helps people to maybe take a chance.
Yeah, so a lot of what we do is advocacy on the consumer level too. So we're out at farmers markets and at community events, tabling and talking about the importance of buying local to consumers and trying to get people to do just that. Like put down the Sonoma County wine and pick up the Verde Valley wine.
Not that there's anything wrong with wine from elsewhere. I buy wine. I buy wine from all over the world, and I encourage people to do that personally. But Arizona's making some good juice, and if you haven't tried it, check it out.
Before we forget it, you guys, I assume, have websites. And so I thought it might be a good time to mention where people can look for local businesses and local wineries.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only our website, Page Spring Cellars is pagespringcellars.com, Arizona Stronghold is azstronghold.com, but also go check out the AWGA website. As much as I want to promote the two wineries I'm here talking about, there's a lot of other great wines out there. And, we're too small to be competing with each other at this point, I think. So, go to the Arizona Wine Growers Association website, and, they represent a lot of the wineries in the state.
And, Local First Arizona's website is localfirstaz.com. On our website, all of our business members have a directory listing, and you can go and search that directory and find if you're looking for wine, if you're looking for restaurants, if you're looking for some sort of service, you can just type that in. And one of the reasons that a lot of businesses join our organization is that we do a lot of marketing for them, and we have a really strong web presence. So our directory alone gets searched 40,000 times a month, wow, which is major web traffic. And so that's one thing that and we also have a huge social media presence as well. So a lot of our members plug into our network because we have such a strong web presence and can get people seen a lot more easily.
It also lists a lot of the benefits that we've been talking about, mm-hmm, for buying locally. And one of the things that stood out to me that I would have never thought about, well, actually two things. One is the donations to charities. You have some studies on, mm-hmm, on the website that you can link to. 250% more from local businesses than from national chains, mm-hmm, go to support charities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you think of an example like, I think the study talks about, like a soccer mom that is going to seek a donation for their kids' soccer jerseys or, some other sort of type of food donations, maybe from a local Arizona chain like Bash's. And Bash's does donate a lot of that sort of thing to our local charities. And then you go to a place like a national chain like Safeway that may just totally brush it off. But you got to remember to maybe shop at Bash's as opposed to Safeway so that you know that you're kind of giving and getting all at the same time. But yeah, it's really amazing the type of community support that a lot of our larger and smaller locally owned businesses give to our communities. And it's really important to recognize that and kind of be reciprocal when you think about where you shop.
You have memberships for consumers, right, as well as for businesses. What's the advantage of being a consumer? It costs me, what, $20 a
year? It does, yeah. So we call those memberships localists. And our localist campaign really just started this year. So it's new, but we kept hearing from local business owners. People that aren't local business owners that said, hey, I really want to get involved and I want to join Local First Arizona, but I don't know how and I don't own a local business. So how can I plug in? And we started this localist, localist campaign so that anyone can join. It's $20 a year. And we're kind of giving these localist, in return for their pledge to shop locally, because that's basically what they're doing. If they join Local First Arizona as a localist, they're pledging that they'll do that. We're giving them inside experiences or, you know, discounts, some discounts, but we're trying not to make it all about discounts and deals. But for example, in Phoenix last year, we offered the first 15 localists to sign up got an inside tour of the elephant facility at the Phoenix Zoo. Or you might get an inside insider's tasting at a new restaurant that opens up, or some other type of experience that would let you. We did some discounts tickets for the Chocolate Walk in Cottonwood last year. So it's more about the experience and trying to, I guess, reward these localists for their commitment to shop local and support locally owned businesses. So we're just getting it kicked off, and we're really excited about it. And there's a lot of opportunity to grow that in Northern Arizona, too.
One of the other benefits of buying locally that I noticed on the studies on the website that I hadn't really thought about is the difference to the environment, that there's a substantial benefit of buying locally, that it causes, you know, you get products that are made locally, like wines, and you don't have to have them shipped across country or around the world. Mm-hmm. So there's a large difference in the carbon footprint, mm-hmm. and there's a large difference in the impact on the local environment as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the food, the local food system and wine industry and the local food industry is a really good example of that. And people talk about food miles all the time. And we have a really strong local food related business, I guess, group. So we have a lot of restaurants, we have a lot of wineries, we have a lot of local farms, farmers markets, nonprofits related to food, that are members of our organization. And, we strive to kind of connect those folks and make sure that the local producers have connections with the local, restaurants and other consumers, and try and keep those miles as short as possible. We're actually having a conference in Clarkdale in January that focuses specifically on local food businesses and local food producers and growing economic and business opportunities for those folks. And that's called the Arizona Food and Farm Finance Forum. And it's going to be in Clarkdale on January 15th and 16th. So that's something that is really important to us, try and minimize not only the transactions so that they can be more linked in Arizona, but also trying to have a positive effect on the environment in that way, too.
Let's ask our silent partner here, Kelsey, who's you're the new outreach director. What kind of outreach are you doing or planning to do?
You know, I literally just got started a couple weeks ago, so I'm still trying to...
Well, then you're as knowledgeable as Gary and I. You know?
Yeah. I'm still trying to kind of adjust to the weather up here. It's a little bit cold in Northern Arizona, and I'm from Phoenix, so...
We call it cool and slightly balmy.
You will like the summers, though.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about that. But with this campaign, I mean, I chose to get on board because I really do believe... I mean, I'm an Arizona girl, grew up, raised here in the Phoenix suburbs, and you guys are 100% correct. You don't know the difference between Gilbert, Chandler, Mesa, because it's just the same shopping centers repeated. Downtown Phoenix has really embraced the localist movement and has started to diversify, and you have your unique businesses there. But really, when you come up to a rural area like the Verde Valley, like Sedona, like Prescott, you have an experience you're not going to get anywhere else. I can't, I'm supposed to be budgeting and I'm eating out way more than I should be because I'm so excited about all the different restaurants that are up here that I've never even heard of because I grew up with Applebee's and Red Robin and Chili's and all that stuff. And I'm gaining weight. So let's not talk about that.
That's a interesting aspect of your job. Where do we want to, what do we want to talk about next? A little bit more about, all right, I'm a consumer, Meg. I'm a consumer and Walmart's cheaper. Let's go back. Why do I want to look around for a local grocery store or a local market? Why don't I want to go to a chain? Or maybe I want to go to a chain sometime, but I get bored with my Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Well, you know, again, we're not anti-chain. We're just pro-local. So if you have the option to, say, find something at Bash's or find something at Safeway, shopping at Bash's will, again, keep more money in our local economy, which means we can make a lot more – the local business community will have a lot more power in decision-making processes and in politics and in all of those type of things that, you know, may be able to influence some sort of the – those incentives that keep coming down the pike from, you know, higher ups and getting more people, getting a Target here, getting a Walmart here. So having a bigger say, I think is important. And also,
but aren't you finding progress? My little town that I'm from in Oklahoma, the Walmart came in and the entire downtown business, the Haddad's general store collapsed. Everything collapsed and everybody went to Walmart because it was cheaper. And the whole downtown, now it's revitalized. It's my hometown is Claremore. It's near Tulsa. Mm-hmm. It's now filled with, you know, antique shops and stuff. But aren't you fighting progress? Isn't the real progress as these giant chains spreading everywhere, taking a formula and repeating it over and over again? Isn't that economically what's really efficient?
I guess you could use the word efficient, but effective, I'm not sure if it would be as effective in drawing those types of creative businesses, these type of more creative people. And also, if you just look at the like the land use implications of practices like that. I mean, you have a giant 40,000 square foot shopping center. You also have a similar footprint of a parking area, which is only used up half of the time. So you're looking at environmental and land use implications of patterns like that, which I could get my urban planning hat on and say that is just not effective and doesn't in the long run. There are studies that show that denser and more compact development in the long run, does create more tax dollars and also creates a lot friendlier and nicer place to visit.
in Arizona, it also has another environmental impact in that water is such a precious resource, and these big box stores don't have provisions for water capture and for other conservation methods, so they use enormous quantities of water. Mm-hmm. They also don't have any provisions in their universal structure that their cookie cutter kind of stores that include solar panels and things like that. So there's a cost in that regard, and I'll help answer Steve's question. With regard to,
I always wait for that every week, Gary.
With the price, it may be cheaper, you know, in the short term, but in the long run, it's you're paying, if you buy things from a big box store, you're paying transportation costs, which have an impact on the environment. You have the environmental costs. You have a less percentage of money going to local charities. You have tax dollars going to support the infrastructure for those large franchises. And for the business owner, like the franchisee, this came up during the election. If I can turn it political for just a moment with Ducey's Cold Springs experience. There are a lot of franchises that sell to franchisees and make all sorts of promises and never live up to them. The supposed advantage of owning a franchise is that you get all of the support and information from the from the mothership, if you will. And often that doesn't happen, and so those people are left to hang out to dry, which is why a lot of Cold Spring, you know, Cold Stone Creamery franchisees went down, and why there was so much controversy over it. You know, there are all sorts of organizations like yours that and the Chamber of Commerce that provide information to local business owners and individuals. So I don't know that there's a big advantage to being a franchisee.
There isn't. And another thing, you know, that you brought up briefly, but you just can't leave out, is that personal connection and that personal relationship that you have with your customers and with your support network. So in that example with Cold Stone, and you have these franchisees not living up to their promises, and you have a great example with the wine industry about they're not competing with each other because they're small, but they also have a really personal relationship with their customers, with their wine club members, with each other, with their marketing guy, with their accountant. And so the likelihood for them to feel more secure in their locally owned status is actually much higher too, because they have all that they have those personal connections and they have the personal relationships that'll bring them forward.
So you already mentioned land use, but I was just thinking that when you look at the restaurants down in the Verde Valley, for example, and many of the other stores, they're recycling old buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're taking a schoolhouse and turning it into a restaurant. They're taking a building that was semi-abandoned and they're turning into it. Revelations Winery is turning a sort of
old church,
church into a winery.
The tavern's in an old burned out theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's a great thing about building new buildings, but there's also it's also wonderful to recycle some of these old buildings with lots of character and stuff, and using space. It doesn't create huge new parking lots. It doesn't create that kind of a problem. So there is an advantage to having smaller businesses that fit themselves into the existing structures. Maybe they redo the inside, maybe they redo the outside. But I think that's an advantage, and we see it all over, particularly I would say in Cottonwood and to some extent in Camp Verde.
And when it comes to local, you know, buying locally grown foods versus foods that have been shipped from around the world or across the country, there's a difference in the way they're grown and the amount of pesticides, and at least you know how they were grown.
And there's also a difference in the way they taste.
Right. Huge difference. It's just dramatic when you get a tomato from a farmer's market versus a tomato from a grocery store. They're not even the same species. You know, they don't have any resemblance to one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in our forum, for our forum in January, which is again the 15th and 16th in Clarkdale, we have several locally owned restaurants that are going to be catering that, and they've all pledged to source local food for that event. And we're lucky that we live in Arizona and has a long growing climate in the southern part of the state. So whether or not you believe that sourcing local maybe comes within 50 miles or 150 miles or statewide, we're trying to, I guess, bring the awareness about that understands things like pest methods of growing and taste and just the reciprocal business that comes from sourcing locally within the food industry and within the food system. And I know that the tasting locally grown Arizona wine probably makes a difference in the taste in terms of shipping the grapes from miles
and
miles away.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the tomato concept definitely is in line with the wine. Those tomatoes you get in all the stores that are more pink are kind of like what I think of as the big wineries, things like Yellowtail, Barefoot. They make a nice product, but it doesn't have a lot of character, whereas the stuff grown here on a small scale, you taste something here that you're not going to taste anywhere else. So we have this unique experience in being connected to the land here through this, you know, through the wine.
When Gary and I went to the Sedona Wine Fest, one thing I noticed, I think maybe Gary did too, was how much variety there is in Arizona wines now, and the difference in taste of a lot of different wines. And we tasted a lot of wines, and they're very distinctive, and they're very different, and they give people a wide range of choice over what kind of wine you like to drink.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be a part of it right now, because we haven't landed yet on like what we want to do as far as what's our specialty grape. You know, people ask that all the time. So what is Arizona known for? We don't know yet. So if you're starting a winery, you're going to plant what you think is going to do well, and you're going to experiment. And that's what you're seeing right now is all this experimenting going on with what does well, and everyone's trying different things. And it's kind of exciting to see it grow and evolve.
A friend of ours has a half acre of land, and I don't remember which winery it was, but they said, well, we'll buy grapes from you from half an acre if you're growing, you know, something that we're interested in. So that's really small production.
Absolutely. I took the first viticulture class at Yavapai College actually a few years ago, and I took it because I wanted to be in the industry, but there was a number of people who just owned a couple of acres, and they thought, I want to plant some vines here and sell the fruit to a winery or to the college, and there's a lot of people doing that, just putting in small vineyards, and it's pretty exciting.
So this is Buy Local Month for, or what are you calling it exactly?
Yeah, Buy Local Month,
oh,
yeah.
I got it right.
So we started this campaign a few years ago and started on Black Friday, and we started it as Buy Local Week because everybody goes out on Black Friday and shops till they drop, and most likely it's not a locally owned business. And then we said, why don't we just make it for the whole month? Everybody's doing their Christmas shopping throughout the whole month. So we do a huge campaign on our website. We have all of our local business owners put their special, any deals or discounts that they're offering or any sort of other holiday type event that they're having. So if you go to localfirstaz.com and click on Buy Local Month, it's right at the top. You'll see all of our members' deals, and it kind of gives you the inside track as to where you can do your shopping this month. And yeah, so
what
check
is,
it out.
What
on
is
online.
Local First Arizona going to do next? Where are you guys headed?
That's a really good question, and I will have to say that we've only had a physical presence in Northern Arizona for about a year and a half. So we're really excited at the progress that we've made just in Northern Arizona. I mean, we feel like our membership base has grown, which is really good, and we're going to keep focusing on that and also keep focusing on some of our outreach and advocacy work because we think we could do a lot more on the consumer end, especially in Northern Arizona. So, you know, I'm not sure the sky's the limit. We have a new outreach coordinator on board.
Okay, Kelsey, come on to the microphone.
And that's going to be a huge
help.
Tell us
what outreach is for Local First Arizona.
Well, for me, outreach is more about consumer knowledge. So I got to sit in on a city planning meeting in Cottonwood the other day, and they're all big people making a future for the city, and I got to chip in my 2 cents and support how we need to nurture our locally owned businesses. And I got to educate a little bit on, you know, what it means to be a localist and what it does for our state, not just our small community, but for the state as a whole. And so right now I'm really focusing on just educating the general public, like, you know, letting them know that, hey, when you do this, this happens. So
bottles of wine make great Christmas gifts. Jewelry made in the local area makes great Christmas gifts, or holiday gifts. So we really want to encourage people to go out and shop our local stores. I want to make an announcement, for our sponsor, before the end of the show. Democrats of the Red Rocks has a breakfast coming up on Thursday, December 18th. At 8 a.m. at the old Sedona Family Restaurant Bar and Grill, a local restaurant.
And the
guest speaker is Paul Lenz, professor of politics and international affairs at Northern Arizona University. And he's going to speak on the ISIS factor, the Islamic State, terrorism in the Middle East.
Yeah, well, we can't seem to figure out what to call them. ISIS,
ISIL,
Islamic
State, yes.
And, I think the Arabic is,
I think
Danish or something like that they call them. But wherever they are, it's a new thing in the Middle East. It's not the cheeriest, topic, but I think it'll be really interesting to folks. Paul's an expert on the militaries of the Middle East, and he'll be talking about that. Next week, we have Richard Falk. He's in his 80s. He's a distinguished professor emeritus from Princeton. He'll be on the show, and we'll be talking about problems in the Middle East. So we will be doing a political show this month, next week. He's a brilliant guy. People like people like guys who speak truth to power until they actually run into one. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.